may be seated. Everybody find the study notes tonight on the back table there? Okay, good, good. Anybody didn't get one? Everybody got one. Okay, very good, very good. All right, tonight we want to speak on the subject, another crowd, another feeding. You remember a couple of weeks ago we noted that on two different occasions during his earthly ministry, the Lord Jesus took a little bit of food, fed a great big crowd of people. And the first of those occasions, of course, commonly referred to as the feeding of the 5,000. That was the first instance that we saw. And but now we're going to deal with the second miraculous feeding of a great crowd. And as we consider this miraculous feeding tonight, I want us to begin by noticing, as you follow along in your notes there, number one, the discussion. The discussion. Now let me set the context for you to this miracle that we're going to be looking at tonight. Context is always very important, very instructive. And let me set the context. We know, according to Mark chapter 7, verse 26, that Jesus had just wonderfully delivered the demon-possessed daughter of a Grecian woman who was living in Syrophoenicia. And after that miracle of healing this young girl, the Bible says now in Matthew chapter 15 and verse number 29, the Bible says that Jesus departed from thence, came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee, went up into a mountain. That mountain in Mark chapter 7, verse 31, is described for us. It's called Decapolis. And so he went up into this mountain. It's in the area of Decapolis. And he sat down there. Now, as you go on reading through the next verse or so, you'll find that the passage goes on to say that a great multitude of people, people who had all kinds of illnesses, all kinds of physical needs, physical ailments, this great crowd of people comes to him and they were healed. They were healed. And as a result of that, verse number 31 says, the multitude wondered. And then also it says, and they glorified the God of Israel. And so that's the context of what is happening. And it's now at that point that we begin to see a discussion that goes on. There's a discussion. And as we look at this discussion that is going to take place, I want us to see that this conversation is going to go back and forth between two sides. First of all, we see the discussion from the Lord. We see it from the Lord, letter A. And as we consider what the Lord has to say in this discussion, I want you to notice, first of all, His call. His call. Verse number 32, then Jesus called His disciples unto Him. And I believe there were two reasons for the call. There were two reasons for this call. First of all, He wanted to tell the disciples. He wanted to tell them something. What was He going to tell them? Well, He was going to tell them about the problem of hunger. He was going to tell them about the problem that there's a crowd of people here and they're hungry and there's no provision. So He was going to tell the disciples, but not only was He going to tell them something, He was also going to test the disciples. He was going to test the disciples. In other words, He wanted to know, would they turn to Him for the supply that was needed? Or would they seek to handle things in their own strength and in their own power? That was the test. You know, sometimes God lets us go through difficulties in our life because He wants to test us in the same way. He wants to see, are we going to trust Him? Are we going to turn immediately to Him? Or are we going to well, if everything else fails, then I'll pray, but I'm going to do it my way first. You know, so many times we're that way, aren't we? And so there was something the Lord wanted to tell the disciples. There was a test to give to the disciples. If you'll remember, this was the same test that the disciples had actually had before, right? Remember the feeding of the 5,000? Same test. They failed it. There's a lesson here for us. When we fail the test that God gives, we have a makeup exam. We have to go through it again. So if you want to avoid the testings, then get it right the first time. Do it God's way. Duh. All right? Yeah. Do it God's way. And so they failed the test. And so now God is giving it to them again. Giving it to them again. Not only do we see His call, but in His discussion we also see His compassion. His compassion. There are two wonderful things about God that we find in the Bible. Two wonderful things about our God that we find in the Bible. First of all, Psalm 78, verse 38, we find that He is full of compassion. Not just a little bit. Not just on a good day. He is full of compassion. In fact, the Bible also tells us, Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22, that His compassions fail not. They never end. They never fail. God is always compassionate. He's full of compassion. It is a supply that can never be exhausted. That's the compassion of our God. And God's compassion finds a practical expression here in our text in verse number 32. Look at it with me. Then Jesus called His disciples unto Him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with Me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. Now in that verse you'll notice there are three reasons that are stated. Three reasons why Jesus had compassion on this multitude. Three reasons why He had compassion on them. First of all, He had compassion on them because of their presence. Their presence. What do I mean by that? I simply mean this. They had been with Him for 3 days. They had been present with Him for 3 days. Staying with Jesus like this, if you stop and think about it, it meant considerable hardship. At night, where did they sleep? Under the stars. Nothing wrong with that. It's a beautiful place if you've ever gone camping. Well, in Singapore, you can't see the stars. But trust me, there's a bunch of them up there. And if you're ever in a place where it's really dark outside, it's a beautiful place, sleeping under the stars. But there's also a lot of bugs and other things that are out there. It's not the most wonderful facilities in the world. But 3 days they've been with the Lord. They've been in this wilderness area, sleeping out under the stars. Not only that, what little food they may have brought along with them has now been consumed, and there's nothing left to eat. There's nothing left to eat. Nothing to eat. Nowhere to stay. I'm going home, right? No, that's not this crowd. They stayed with Jesus. They stayed with Him. They stayed with Him for 3 days. That's very different, isn't it? That's very different from the average Christian today who thinks they can skip their daily Bible reading, they can skip their daily prayer time, they can even miss church and never even think a thing about missing time with the Savior. Very different attitude we find here. Very different attitude. In fact, one commentator, I think, said it very well. He said, while Christ has compassion for all people, He has special compassion for those who show special devotion to Him. You want God's compassion in your life? That was a question. You want God's compassion in your life? Sure, we all do. Why should He show compassion to us when we have no thought for Him? I mean, it is a two-way street, this thing of a relationship with God. It's a two-way street. The commentator continued, if you do not sense the love of Christ in your life, maybe it is because you do not have much love for Him. Just something to think about. Jesus had compassion on them because of their presence. Number two, He had compassion on them because of their problem. What was their problem? They didn't have any food. They didn't have any food. Because they determined to stay with Jesus, even though they had no food, Jesus would not forget His promise. Do you remember what His promise was? Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, right, and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. What does that mean? That simply means make spiritual things your number one priority. Make spiritual things your number one priority. And if you will do that, then comes the promise. All these things. Now, if you go back and read the context there in Matthew chapter 6, you'll find all these things refers to the necessities of life. It includes food. It includes food. Because they were more interested in things spiritual, because they were more interested in things eternal than they were in things physical and things temporal, Jesus had compassion on them in their time of need. You want the Lord to meet your needs? That is a question. Yeah, we do, right? We do. We do. Then how are your priorities? How are your priorities? Jesus had compassion on them because of their presence, because of their problem. But then also I find in our text there that He had compassion on them because of their peril. Because of their peril, their danger. Their danger. Jesus said they might, what? Faint along the way. In a parallel passage, in Mark chapter 8, verse number 3, we're told that many of these people had traveled from a long distance to come to be with the Lord. And if He left, if He sent them away and they're still hungering and they haven't been fed and all of that, they might faint before they reached their home. Because of that, Jesus had compassion on them. He had compassion on them. He did not want to send them away physically weakened so that they might not be able to make it safely to their destinations. That's the communication of Jesus, the discussion of Jesus. Talking about His call. Talking about His compassion. But now let's go to the other side of the discussion. I want us to notice the side from the disciples. From the disciples. I want you to notice, first of all, their skepticism. Their skepticism. Verse number 33, and His disciples say unto Him, whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness? Lord, there's no 7-Eleven out here. There's no McDonald's, okay? Where out in this wilderness? Come on, Lord, now be real. Have you ever told that to the Lord? No, you didn't have the guts to do it, but all of us have thought it, haven't we? Come on, Lord, now be real. Where are we going to find provision here? Where are we going to find what we need in this place? Whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? In other words, these disciples were skeptical for the very same reason that they had been skeptical when it came to the feeding of the 5,000. Very same reason. In fact, there are three reasons for their skepticism that's found here in the text. First of all, the supply. The supply. Instead of trusting Jesus to supply the need, notice the key word in that verse. It's one of those little words that usually we blow right over, but it's so very important. The key word is we. We. Here's Ira. We don't have it. Instead of trusting in the Lord, they begin to look to their own abilities. Key word is we. Not only were they skeptical because of the supply, they were skeptical because of the place. They're in a wilderness. There's no food to be found. And they're also skeptical, number three, because of the crowd. As far as the disciples were concerned, from their small, meager supply, there was absolutely no way to feed such a huge crowd of people. And because of their skepticism, we see their shame. We see their shame. As I was thinking about this, I was reminded of the nation of Israel. You remember the story of the nation of Israel? The nation of Israel saw the great power of Almighty God. They saw the great power of the Lord God displayed in those 10 plagues that were brought against the land of Egypt. Remember that? They saw the great power of God displayed in their escape from Egypt, in the Exodus, as they left the land and they came out. Not only did they come out, they came out with all of the riches of Egypt. They spoiled the people without ever lifting a sword. Their Exodus, mighty display of God's power. They also saw God's power in their deliverance from Egypt. You remember they came to the Red Sea. Pharaoh and his armies are coming behind. They're on that little sandy beach there, looking at the Gulf of Aqaba, the Red Sea, and there's no way to go. Mountains to the left, mountains to the right. Pharaoh's behind, and the ocean is before them. What are they going to do? God opened the sea, went through on dry land. And yet when they came to a place, after seeing all those things, when they came to a place where they needed a little bit of water, instead of trusting in the Lord God who had done all these amazing things for them in the just very recent past, what did they do? Exodus chapter 17, verse 7, the Bible gives us the answer. In Exodus chapter 17, verse 7, the Bible says, they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Is God with us or has He deserted us? This was a shameful thing. It was a shameful thing not only because of what they had already seen in the past, but may I suggest to you that it was doubly shameful because they could still see the pillar of cloud by day and they could still see the pillar of fire by night. And yet to their shame, they still doubted whether God was with them. They still doubted whether God was with them. And in the very same way, because of the mighty power of God that the disciples had already seen with their own eyes. They saw it when Jesus fed the 5,000. They've already seen that. And because of the mighty power that they had seen in the feeding of the 5,000, and because of the fact that the same Jesus who had performed that miracle was still with them, it was a shameful thing. It was a shameful thing that they were filled with doubt and filled with unbelief. Shameful thing. But then we see the conversation now goes back, and once again we're going to hear from the Lord. From the Lord. Notice it in verse number 34. And Jesus saith unto them, in spite of their lack of faith, in spite of their shamefulness, the Lord said unto them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, seven, and a few small fishes. That's the discussion. Let's notice now the details. The details. The details begins with letter A. It begins with the sitting. The sitting. And verse number 35, and he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. Now that doesn't sound like very much, but the truth of the matter is that required a certain element of faith. It required a certain element of faith. People were commanded to sit down, spread out their blankets, sit down. What are you expecting when you spread out your blankets in a wilderness area and you sit down? Where's the picnic basket, right? Yogi Bear has been here. He stole it. But where's the food? Where's the food? And when Jesus told them to sit down, for them to sit down, even though they saw no food, and they saw no supply or no evidence of a provision being made, yet they obeyed. They sat down. Now there's a key point here that we ought to mention. God's mighty works. We all want God's mighty works. I want God's mighty works in my life. I want God's mighty works in my church. I want to see God's mighty works in your life. But the thing we have to remember is that God's mighty works for us are normally preceded by God's clear commandments to us. Did you get that? God's mighty works for us are normally preceded by God's clear commandments to us. Many times we forfeit the mighty works of God. Many times we miss the mighty works that God would desire to do in our lives and our church. We miss those things simply because of our own disobedience to the commandments that God has given to us in His Word. He commanded them. He commanded them to sit down. And because they obeyed, we then see the supplying. The supplying, letter B, verse 36. And he took the seven loaves, the fishes, and gave thanks and brake them. Again, three things we see here. First of all, there is the borrowing. The borrowing. Some people give little gifts because they're stingy. That's bottom line. Some people give little gifts because they're selfish. But when our little gift is all that we have to give to God, then God is able to multiply the gift, causes it to become sufficient to meet the need. He multiplies the gift, but not only that, He rewards the giver. Rewards the giver. The borrowing. Jesus asked His disciples, what do you have? All we have. Get that? We have. All we have. Seven loaves, a couple of small fishes. Let me have it. And they gave it to Him. Gave Him all they had. Gave Him all they had. Then we see the blessing. The blessing. The Bible says He gave thanks. He gave thanks. And then we see the breaking. The breaking. He began to break the bread and He began to break the fish. And then we see, letter C, the serving. In verse number 36, He took the seven loaves and fishes, gave thanks, break them, and gave to His disciples and the disciples to the multitude. This is the very same thing we saw before. The disciples were not to hoard God's provision that was given to them. You see, the disciples understood that they were simply a conduit. They were simply a pipe. They were the means by which God's provision would reach the people. It wasn't like this. Yeah, thank you, Lord. More, more, more. No, it was... Get the idea? That's what they were to do. That's what they were to do. They were merely conduits whereby God's provision was made available to others. And so we see the serving of the food as the Lord breaks it. He gives it to the disciples and then He breaks more. And the miracle is it just keeps multiplying. And the more He breaks, the more there is. And He breaks it off and gives and gives and gives. And then we see letter D, the sufficiency. The sufficiency. Bible says in verse number 37, "And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full." Again, 3 things that we see here. First of all, the statistics are given to us. The statistics. We're told here that all of those present were fed. Not just those on the front row. If that was true, Jeremiah, it would be me and you, buddy. That's it. No. Everybody was fed. Not just those on the front row. All of them were fed. And then we find in verse number 38 what that all means. We're talking about statistics here. Here's what the all means. "And they that did eat were 4,000 men beside..." That means on top of that, all the women and all the children who were there. They all ate. We see the statistics. But not only do we find the statistics, we also find the satisfaction. They were all filled. Have you ever sat down to a meal and you eat? And then when you get up, you know you're just kind of pleasantly satisfied. And then there's other times when you sit down. I do this every Thanksgiving, Christmas, Valentine's, birthday, any other opportunity I have. You sit down and you eat and you eat and you eat and you eat and you eat. And then you get up and you kind of waddle over and you fall down on the couch and you go into a coma. You know. Man, I am stuffed. I'm so full. Yeah, that's what I was talking about. They were all filled. There was no room for dessert. Just bread and fish. Take home a fish sandwich if you want. No, that's all they had. And they were all filled. But not only were they all filled, notice number 3, the surplus. There were 7 baskets full. Now you remember with the feeding of the 5,000. With the feeding of the 5,000, we saw that there were 12 baskets that were left over. But you remember we learned when we were studying that the Greek word that is translated basket in the feeding of the 5,000 was actually referring to like a little hand basket. It was like a little lunchbox. And there were 12 of those that were filled up with food. But here a different Greek word is used. A different Greek word is used. It's the same word that we find in Acts chapter 9 and verse number 25. Same Greek word is used in Acts 9:25. The Bible says there that then the disciples took him by night, talking about the Apostle Paul. They took him by night and they let him down by the wall in a basket. In other words, the basket that's referred to here is a basket that is big enough to hold a man. And there were 7 of them filled full of leftover food. What did it come from? 7 loaves and a couple of fishes. Plus what was in the stomach of 4,000 men, plus all the women and the kids. Amazing. Amazing. The surplus. Even though the number of baskets was less, the surplus was greater in this miracle that we see. Then number 3, we see the dismissal. The Bible says in verse number 39, and he sent away the multitude. He sent away the multitude. A couple of things I want to mention here. First of all, the readiness of it. Jesus had declared that he would not send them away hungry, right? He said, I will not send them away hungry. Because he did not want them to faint along the way. And Jesus did exactly what he said. And so now they have been fed. They have been fed to the full. And so now they are ready to be dismissed. Jesus did what he said he would do. They're ready to be dismissed. So we see the readiness of it. Not only do we see the readiness of it, letter B, we see the responsibility of it. When the people were dismissed to return to their homes, there was a message there. There was a message there. It taught the people a very important lesson. It taught them that they are not to expect to have all of their meals provided by such a miracle. Rather, they're now going to be responsible to get their own meals. Now they're going to be responsible in their own homes to feed their own selves in the normal way. In the normal way. We need to remember here something that we have said before, and probably something we'll say again before we get through this series on the study of the miracles. But we need to remember, as we've said before, that God does not perform miracles when we really don't need them. And we also need to remember that God never performs miracles so that we can become lazy and irresponsible. We need to remember that. May God help us to learn that our God is always a dependable God. No matter how impossible the circumstances that we face may seem. And may we always be quick to surrender all that we have to His control, so that He might use it and do great and mighty things with it that we ourselves would never be able to do in our own strength and in our own power. So many times we think we're going to get ahead in life by cheating God, holding out on God. It doesn't work that way, folks. It doesn't work that way. When we put everything that we have into His hand, as the song says, little is much when God is in it. And when we put it in His hand, then He is able to do things that we would never be able to accomplish by ourselves. Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight for Your Word. We thank You for